Spain Today with Bob James and Noel Wyman.
And Tuesday's edition of Spain Today. Talk Radio Europe, good afternoon. And our special guest, Sue Wilson from Bremain in Spain, talking about Brexit.
This is Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
Now, expats from around Europe have explained to a British parliamentary group their fears surrounding the decision by the country to leave the European Union, especially over healthcare. The representatives of expat groups in Spain, France, Belgium, Italy, Poland and Romania voiced their concerns at a meeting last week of the House of Commons Brexit Select Committee. Pensioners were particularly concerned, according to Sue Wilson, one of the founders of the Bremain in Spain group, who pointed out that they are already suffering in terms of income since the pound has fallen since the Brexit vote last June. The Britons in Belgium group also said that healthcare costs are a major issue for expats. Spokesman Debbie Williams told the committee that there could be hundreds of thousands of people returning to the UK over healthcare issues. Christopher Chantry, a Briton living in France representing the Expat Citizens' Right in EU, or ECRU group, said expats would welcome an early deal that would guarantee the rights of EU citizens in the UK and vice versa. The committee also heard from representatives of EU citizens living in the UK. According to Barbara Drozdowski, chief executive of the East European Resource Centre, people from countries like Poland and Romania moved to Britain to set up businesses, not to sponge off the state, and they are worried about whether or not they can stay after Brexit. So I thought it was a good idea to talk to Sue Wilson, the chairperson of the Spanish group Bremain Spain. I started by asking her about how the group got started.
Right, well, we've been going since just after the referendum. Originally, it was started by two friends who live in Barcelona who were so upset by the result that they decided they wanted to put together a forum for like-minded people to discuss the situation. I became a member very soon after that and very quickly became the most active member in the group. So when the group got a lot bigger than they had originally intended or expected, they asked me to take it over, which I did in September. So we're now over 4,000 strong, and we're actively campaigning to prevent Brexit from happening, but our plan B is obviously to protect the rights of all UK citizens who live in Spain, whatever the result of Brexit happens to be. So, you know, we need to look out for our interests, whether we can stop Brexit or not, and more so if we can't.
So what do you reckon the chances are of stopping it then, Sue?
I think it's early days. I think that there are all sorts of irons in the fire, and the one thing that is starting to become apparent, certainly to the British government and to many other people as well, is how very difficult it is, how very complex, how very expensive. And also, we keep hearing about the will of the people and democracy and all of those things, but we're actually talking about a small percentage of the population that actually voted for it. That was just a snapshot of the opinion of people on the day. And many of those people will have subsequently changed their minds. If the will of the people happens to mean something different in 6 months' time or even in 2 years' time, then maybe, you know, the future is not the one that everyone's expecting at the moment.
So do you think that there could be another referendum or another vote somewhere down the line?
I think it's possible. I don't know how likely that is or even how desirable it might be. But certainly I think that the involvement of Parliament, even May has said that, you know, there should be an opportunity for them to vote on the final deal. Now, at the moment, what she's offering is a vote that's not much choice. It's accept a deal no matter how bad it is, or we walk away with no deal, which would be a complete disaster. What we're hoping for is that common sense will prevail, and that at some point when the Parliament is given an opportunity, perhaps to vote on a final deal, that there'd be a third option on the table, which is to stay in the EU. And one of the things that might determine whether we get to that point or not is the case that's going to happen in the Dublin courts, and I believe that's going to be starting fairly soon. That is the one that's going to determine whether or not Article 50 or the triggering of Article 50 is revocable. And obviously, if it's determined that you can stop the divorce before the final day when we leave, then obviously that puts a whole new perspective on, you know, what could happen in the future.
Tuesday afternoon on Talk Radio Europe. This is Spain Today. Our special guest this afternoon is Sue Wilson, the chairman of Bremain in Spain.
TRE.
So this rather looks as though you're kind of pinning your hopes on the British MPs. So is it worthwhile people actually trying to lobby MPs?
It's certainly worthwhile lobbying them. A big issue, obviously, for a lot of people who are living outside the UK is that many who've been out of the country for more than 15 years don't have the facility of being able to vote. Now, obviously, that's something that the British government has promised will happen before the next general election. Why it's going to take that long, nobody seems willing to answer that question, but it means that many people don't have an MP as such. Having said that, in times of national crisis, and this is certainly one of those, it is perfectly acceptable to write to any MP, whether it's your constituency MP or not. And if they write back to you and say you're not a constituent, then that's just not good enough. You know, you should be writing back to them and not taking no for an answer. But apart from writing to MPs, one of the things we've been concentrating on recently is we're actually lobbying the House of Lords. And, of course, you can write to anyone or all of those. So I would certainly recommend doing that. And I would say there's a lot of sympathy, a lot more sympathy for our cause in the House of Lords than there is in the House of Commons. So that is something that I would certainly recommend people do.
Okay.
The more letters they get, the better.
Now, this is a tricky one, isn't it? Because it's one of the many complaints, if you like, from the expat community, not just in Spain, but all over Europe, that we do lack a kind of democratic voice, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, French citizens that move overseas have MPs to represent them. In fact, I believe there's 11 or 12 of them for a population of about 2 million people. And we don't have one single MP representing our voice at all. So we do have to rely on those voices of the politicians that are in the UK. There is a case for talking to politicians in Spain as well. But there's also, it's a very good idea to approach your MEP. Now, I lived in the constituency, I lived in the southeast of England, so I have 10 MEPs. It's different from your MP because you don't have one, you have several because they cover a region. So you can write to all of them or you can choose one to write to. So I've written to all my MEPs as well, with the exception of Nigel Farage, who I didn't think was probably going to listen to me.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right then, Sue. Well, I'm kind of guessing. I mean, we've seen social media, we've seen kind of internet type petitions and protests do have a result. So I'm guessing that organisations like yours can have some muscle in all of this.
Well, it's certainly never a bad idea to get your voice heard. Now, certainly the Select Committee or our appearance at the Select Committee have made a huge difference to that because it's put us very much in the public eye. And as a result of that, we've gained a lot more members and I've been approached by the media both in Spain and in the UK. But certainly anything that gives us the opportunity to put our point across. And it was very valuable to present to the Select Committee because it was very clear from talking to them that many of the issues that we raised were news to them. So hopefully now, you know, we've opened a few eyes and ears and hopefully a few hearts and minds as well. And hopefully that, you know, we'll be no longer considered as bargaining chips as we have been up to now, along with all the EU citizens in the UK.
Okay, well, let's look at the worst-case scenario. Say, for argument's sake, despite all the effort, you cannot stop Brexit and the UK leaves the European Union. I'm guessing your standpoint then will be to look after the rights of those of us who have been sort of left in the limbo, really.
Absolutely. And for many, you know, depending on what decisions are made, especially with regard to healthcare and pensions, you know, that could be the difference between whether or not they continue to live in Spain or whether they have to go back to the UK. So one of the points we made to the Select Committee is, you know, have you thought about what might happen in the future if hundreds of thousands of people are forced to return? The impact that that's going to have on social care, on the NHS, on the housing market, and even in many cases on the job market as well. They're trying to reduce numbers of people coming into the country that are going to impact on those services. Well, in one fell swoop, they might have severely shot themselves in the foot if, you know, hundreds of thousands of Brits have no choice but to go back.
I mean,
and if they do take free healthcare off us, and if they do affect our pensions, and if the exchange rate goes much worse than it is already and affects the value of people's pensions, then, you know, for some, that really will be, you know, there will be no choice but to go back.
Now, what is it? Is it pensions or is it healthcare? What do you suggest is the biggest issue facing the expats at the moment?
There's not much in it, but healthcare is the slightly bigger one. It's really, especially, you know, for pensioners, if you have pre-existing medical conditions and you are older, then your chances of being able to afford private healthcare, if it's even available, if you have certain medical conditions, it's prohibitively expensive in Spain. And I think that really would be, you know, a significant factor for many. Plus, there's also the issue, it's, apart from the fact it's, you know, I won't have that paid for, I think we have to get away from this idea that somebody's giving us something for free, because if we qualify for free healthcare in the first place, it's because we paid into the system for decades. So it's not really free healthcare, it's us taking advantage of an insurance that we paid into for many years. So it is a big factor for most, but with pensions it's twofold, because it's partly the fact that people's incomes are affected by the exchange rate. I mean, that's already gone down 20% and affected, you know, how much people are living on, but and expected to get worse, especially after the triggering of Article 50 or after we Brexit. But it's also whether or not we're going to maintain the triple lock, which means that pensions are index-linked and go up every year with inflation. So if they are frozen, then that would make a significant difference to how much pension you're going to get in the future.
This is Talk Radio Europe. You're listening to Spain Today. I'm Bob James. Our guest this afternoon is the chairman of Bremain in Spain. This is Sue Wilson.
TRE.
What is your next move in all of this? Because, I mean, you've been to, as you say, select committees. You've been doing quite a lot up to now. What's your next big move?
Well, at the moment, we are in the process of submitting additional evidence to the committee based on the meeting we had with them last week. So clarifying any points that additional information was required on. We're going to continue to develop that relationship because we do hope that it's just the start of a relationship between us and the representatives, and that if they wanted more information about Brits in Spain in the future, then hopefully they would come to me because, you know, we already have that connection. So that's one way that we will be continuing to look after the interests. Another thing, and this is more along the lines of the Plan B, so, you know, if it all goes horribly wrong, you know, how do we keep some of the rights that we already have? One of the things that's about to happen very soon, and hopefully by the end of January, is I'm involved with a scheme that is all about applying for an EU passport. Now, there are schemes in existence already which are all about EU citizenship, but the issue with some of those is that the EU is not a nation state, so therefore can't give you citizenship. However, what they can do is issue an EU passport, and in effect, an EU passport would come with all the rights that you would associate with EU citizenship. So in effect, it would give you freedom of movement, for example. So that's the next big scheme that is very close on the horizon, and as soon as that is ready for launch, which will hopefully be in the next week, then there will be a massive online petition for people to vote for. And when we have 1 million votes, which sounds like an enormous number, but actually we have 28 different countries to get those votes from, because it's completely Europe-wide, then we would actually get to present in front of Parliament in Brussels. So that, even if it never came to anything, is obviously going to garner a lot of publicity and make it very clear to politicians on all sides how important it is to us to maintain those rights and freedoms that we have at the moment.
Okay, well, it rather sounds to me as though we're going to be talking again here on Talk Radio Europe in the not-too-distant future then, Sue.
Obviously, it's going to be a long fight. So, you know, we have to keep thinking of new schemes and new ideas, and we keep having to get our voice heard. So hopefully we can do that through you as well.
Fantastic. Okay, just finally then, Sue, can you tell us if people would like to learn more about your organisation, what's the best way to get in contact to see what you do?
The easiest way is to check out the website, which is www.remaininspain.com. Remain with a B. There's also a section on the website which is Join Us. So if you go on there, you can register and enter your email address, which will make you eligible for our monthly newsletter. If you're on Facebook, we've got a Facebook page, and that's where a lot of the activity will take place. So that's Remain in Spain. Remainers only, I'm sorry, we do vet everybody because it's very important to us that it's a group where people can share their views without any fear of being pounced on by the opposition. And we also have a Twitter account as well, which is @RemainInSpain.
Fantastic. All right, Sue, well, I wish you all the very best of luck with what you do, and I suspect we'll be talking again shortly.
Thank you very much.
Inform. Comment. Entertain.
TRE.
TRE.
Online at talkradioeurope.com.
On mobile and on FM in Spain and the island. This is
Your Voice in Spain.
TRE.